Okay, I'd like to formally start the Oceana Community Service District Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, October 11th, 2023. And the first thing on our agenda is the roll call.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Varney?
Here.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Here.
Vice President Gibson?
Here.
President Villa?
Here. We next have the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we come to item four, agenda review. So take 30 seconds or so to review the agenda and have some one motion.
I'd like to move two things. So I would like to move 7F down to 8B so that the discussion of OPAR is, you know, in one spot. I'd like to make a motion that 7F be moved to 8B so that the discussion of OPAR can be in, you know, one spot instead of fragmented. And the second one, I'd like to move 10A to after 6C consent agenda.
What was the second motion again?
Move 10A to 6C.
Before consent agenda, you mean? Is it after?
After the consent agenda.
Seven, then it would be, isn't it seven?
Yeah. Wait a minute, what did I write? Sorry.
Seven?
I'll second that.
So is this one motion, all one motion?
Discussion, please.
Two. Okay. That's two separate ones.
It's two separate motions. So yes. You have to make first one, right? And then we have to.
What motion? What's
so
the motion?
What I'd recommend, Director Gibson, is the motion to approve the agenda with the two amendments that you've proposed, unless you'd like to have each take it up separately.
No. So moved.
So the motion is to approve the agenda, but with the two amendments as proposed by Director Gibson.
We have discussion now?
Yeah, thank you. I have no opposition to moving the OPARC budget. But moving Ms. Gibson's correspondence to public comment, we heard from Mr. Chung, I don't know if it was a couple of weeks ago, that it is inappropriate for directors to be using public comment time. If you have something to report or observe or pontificate or opine on, I would suggest that you do that during the Board of Directors reports and not mix it with public comment. You are not a member of the public, you're a director.
I'm not mixing it with eight. I'm saying after the consent agenda is over, before number eight.
Okay, I'm confused. Could you explain what?
Before our business items, I think she means.
Yeah.
Sorry, what did you say, Aline?
So she's saying move the correspondence for 10A, which is correspondence from Vice President Gibson, move it up to right before, after consent, in between or before our business items. council before our business items.
Why would we do that? There's nothing there. There's no space. It's like creating a whole new agenda item that's not on the agenda.
Well, I think it's an important item and should be moved up.
Well, then discuss it under 10. Where it lays. That's where it's on the agenda.
I'm asking that 10A be moved after the consent agenda is completed.
Well, I'll be voting no on that. I think it's a horrible precedent to be hacking around and chopping up the agenda and putting new agenda items on, actually a whole new placeholder. Mr. Chung, this can't be viable under the Brown Act.
So long as a discussion item is agendized on the agenda, the board can take up discussion on those items as it wishes. So it's not violative of the Brown Act, but that's different from whether the board would like to proceed in that matter.
Thank you.
I'd like to give public comment to the agenda review and the motion that you're about to take action on. Is that all right?
I'm not sure if we're discussions.
Oh.
Are we done? Do you want to say something, Director Drews? No. We done?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, we're done.
The board is always free to accept public comment, but it's not required to do so for the agenda. So it's up to you, Mom, if you'd like to accept.
Go ahead. Thank you. I am Julie Tacker, and I don't see the necessity for moving the correspondence discussion any higher in the agenda, unless you are expecting or in that you might ask the sheriff to opine or participate in that item. That would be the only reason I would see to move it up, but let that be part of your deliberation, and I wouldn't think so, but I would not move it up unless that's the reason.
Any further public comment? Being none, then can I have a motion to...
We have a motion second on the floor. On the floor.
Yeah. Are we ready for a roll call? Okay. Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Varney?
No.
Director Joyce Sinison?
No.
And President Bia?
No. So now, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with?
It's not a consent agenda, it's still not
agenda review. Agenda review, I'm sorry. Motion to approve the agenda review.
So moved.
Second.
Director Varney?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sinison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Okay, then that brings us down to public comment on matters not on the agenda. Again, it's public comment for matters not on the agenda. This public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed in the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to speak to an item that is not on your agenda, and that would be the way you handle redactions. The agenda packet tonight, as an example, has individual signatures on pages 26, 77, 78, 82 through 90, 92, 188, 191, and 196. On only on those pages, of those pages, is one signature redacted. It's on page 188, and that is Mr. Clemens' signature. A few months ago, your district was challenged for redacting government official signatures, which are what are the authenticity of your, in that instance, it was your oaths of office. But in this packet, Mr. Clemens has decided to redact his own signature. My signature's in here. There's engineer's signatures in here, a health person signature's in here. As I said, there's quite a few signatures in here that are not redacted. So you've been challenged about over-redacting. That hasn't come to a resolve as yet, in my opinion. I don't think you've resolved that issue. And I think as a government official's signatures cannot be redacted. You are acting in your official capacity when you sign a document, and that includes Mr. Clemens. Mr. Clemens is a government official. So I'd like to understand the logic behind redacting his signature and not other signatures, or his signature all by itself. What is the reasoning behind this, and what is the legality behind it? Because I think it's not legal to have a government official's signature redacted, and I'm just very curious about it, and I'd like to see some consistency in your district, and that you make a statement about it or something like that. If I have just a couple seconds left, I was looking. Well, no, I'll come back. I'll come back on the minutes. Thanks.
Any further public comment?
Good evening. My name is April Dury, Oceano resident, and I'm here to discuss an item not on the agenda, which would be when the board asked to agendize, a press release. That's not on the agenda. But what is on the in the public is an article about the embezzlement. And I find it fascinating that without a press release and with no report out of closed session whatsoever, that this reporter has the name of the employee that was never given to the public, ever. I don't even know. And I'm the one that found the audit the embezzlement information on the public website. And I didn't know this. And yet here it is, when you didn't do a press release, the public didn't know, but a news reporter knows. Not only does she know this confidential information, she knows an exact timeline of when this employee that's been publicly named was put on leave and then terminated. Again, more information that was never in the audit, was never provided to the public, was never reported out of closed session. And this woman did not write allegedly. She did not write potentially. She wrote it with her whole chest as a journalist under the concern, no concern apparently, of misnaming or running into legal consequences. So I personally would like to thank Director Linda Austin for providing her that information.
Any further public comment? Being none, we'll close public comment and we'll proceed. Next, we have 6A staff reports. We have Sheriff South Station Commander Keith Scott.
Good evening. This report will encompass September 1st to September 30th. Calls for service, there were 419. Previous year, the calls for service were 385. Assault and batteries, we had a total of four. All four were domestic violence. Disturbance calls, we had 42. burglar recalls. We had two, one residence. I assume the other was a vehicle, although it's not listed here. Thefts, a total of five, two grand thefts, three petty thefts, a total of three vandalisms, two mail thefts. We assisted other agencies 29 times. Suspicious circumstances, we had six for subjects, two for vehicles. Enforcement stops, where we're being proactive, 77. We had zero Narcan use, which is great. We've been kind of not having those lately. And then 21 arrests for the month of September. And questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a question. So in all of those items, how many of them did you report directly to Mr. Clemens?
None. We don't report anything directly to Mr. Clemens.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
The Commander Scott, I'd just like to follow up on that. How is it that Mr. Clemens would know of a call that happened at Director Sunnison's home, and how would Shirley Gibson have a copy of the report?
I don't know how they received a report of your incident. Which incident are you referring to?
I don't remember the date. It was
the 12th, I believe. September 12th.
September 12th.
And it wasn't actually at my home. It was on the corner in Wilmar, across Caddy Corner, across the street from my home.
All right. Okay. Yeah, someone, I guess, came into our office. So I do have that particular report. So to get a report from anyone in the public can go to our records and ask for a report. And they do have rules, which I don't know exactly what that is because I don't give out reports. But a person can ask if they know the report number or who's involved. They can get that report. And then what was the second part of your question?
Well, do you have do you keep a record of who requests reports?
The record office does keep a report. So just to let you know, it is against our policy for us to give out reports directly unless we're dealing with another agency. So you're not going to get a report from the sheriff's substation at all, no matter how much you ask, unless you're AGPD or someone like that. We'll give that to you. Okay. But a citizen has to go through the records department.
Okay.
And, yeah, as far as someone knowing what goes on, if someone's arrested, that's public information. You can go on to the website and find out who was arrested all day, every day. And the circumstances around that, some of that may be online, just when you go through our website, and it shows like the heat maps and things like that, what that call was. Not necessarily identifying an address all the time, but so if someone has that information, again, walking down the line of how that would occur, our records department can give out reports to the person if they satisfy the requirements to receive that report.
Thank you.
Right. See, Commander Scott, so there's a difference, right? There's reports and then there's call logs.
There's call logs, correct.
And that's what you're talking about. Anybody can go online and see the arrest log you can look up any day of the week, right?
And found out, yes. So bookings, or the pictures may not be there, but you can find out who was arrested and what day that they were arrested, and I believe the charges. I haven't gone on there because I have my own ways of finding things out. So what it looks like exactly, I haven't been there because I don't need to. But that is available. A lot of people do follow it. And that's how the media finds out about who's arrested and what they want to look at. You know, so they'll go through that log and call us up and figure out, hey. So all that's public information, public records, act has allowed many things to be transparent. Mm-hmm. More questions?
On the grand theft ones, you had two?
Correct.
Were they in property, inside residences or homes?
I can try and find that. So we get, I don't go into the weeds, so to speak, of each incident because, so my report that I read is one mm-hmm. page, and then all of the information of where we get mm-hmm. it is multiple pages. That particular grand theft, I can try and find that for you.
It's difficult. That's fine. I was just
curious.
Yeah,
I don't believe, if it was in a residence, it would be a burglary, unless...
That's different.
Yeah, so if you...
So it would be specified as a burglary, so it's probably in a car.
It could be a car, it could be from a store, so any structure someone enters into and steals something from that structure, that is considered a burglary. Mm-hmm. So I would say that it was not in a residence, but I can't tell you where it was from.
Probably cars, because I've been hearing that you need to, you know, make sure your car is locked.
And I can look at those in the future to say where they're from, if you guys want that.
Thank you. All right. I don't know if you want to answer that question from
Do I redact signatures?
No, I don't have anything to do with the board or thing. But if you get a report, and certain things are redacted in our reports because, you know, victims of violence and whatever, of names and addresses will be redacted because you don't want people to figure out where that person lives. So, yes, things are redacted in the reports. I don't do
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Though. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that brings us down to CFA Operations Chief Steve Lieberman. I don't believe he's here. So that would bring us to someone we can always rely on, Operations Utility System Manager, Tony Maraschino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maraschino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 95.9% full, which is 47,958 acre feet. We had zero sewer system overflows in the month of September. We are still continuing to take just Lopez water, which was just over 58 acre feet for the month. And we pump just over 1 acre foot just for sample purposes only. We are continuing to do weekly and monthly samples. We had 21 work orders, 9 USAs, 8 customer service calls, and first of month equipment runs. We continue to do our sewer jetting. And we are complete per our SSMP that we provide to the state, so that preventive maintenance is no longer going to be done for the rest of the year. And we've moved back on to valve turning, continuing on with that until we get all the valves turned in the system. We are still replacing a few meters and raising the meter boxes as needed. We're still picking up trash also as we see it or to get called. And there was a 4-inch valve that actually separated. It was the first I ever seen where the 4 bolts hold the top of the valve together, actually corroded away, and we kind of rebuilt it in place, just excavated and rebuilt it in place instead of replacing it. I had a spare valve on the shelf, saved a lot of time and a lot of uninterrupted service if we would have had to have replaced it. So basically working on preventive maintenance right now. Any questions?
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Maraschino. This has to do with potential situations where somebody might be illegally connected to water or sewer services. And I wonder if you could, would you just please briefly educate us on if, whether you notice something or a call comes into the district headquarters where somebody says, hey, I think my neighbor's like got their motorhome illegally hooked up to the sewer, and what would be the process of looking into that?
Give you an example. We had an incident that zero water usage on a meter, and everything was green. That was a an indicator that somehow water was getting to the facility, to the property, with zero consumption.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did an investigation, kind of figured it out, and got, I believe it was local law enforcement involved because it is theft from the district. Mm-hmm. It is a felony when you tap into a public water system.
Mm-hmm.
That happened numerous times at the same location, just different ways of manipulating the theft of water.
Mm-hmm.
Another incident happened where a home was empty and the renters next door put a hose to the house and they were taking water because they were locked off.
Mm-hmm.
Another example, a vacation home gives a call for high consumption. And we asked them if we could meet with them on the property, walk the property, and figured out the neighbor tapped into it.
Okay, so usually the complaint is called in to the office, and then you're contacted, and you go out and check it out, typically?
Yeah, yes and no.
Okay.
You know, right. If we notice something abnormal.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Over the last, have you received any complaints about Director Sunnison's property at 22nd and Wilmar?
Have I personally received?
Yes, have. Well, I don't know, but has the district and have you, yes, do you, have you personally received complaint about illegal water or sewage use at Director Sunnison's residence at 22nd and Wilmar?
Not that I'm aware of right now.
No? Mm-hmm. Did the general manager direct you to patrol by Director Sunnison's house and look for possible illegal hookups or anything?
We don't do code enforcement that way, no.
Yeah, okay.
No direction whatsoever.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes.
I have a quick question following up on that. I'm curious. Way back in the 80s, we had a family friend that came over, and he had his RV and he hooked it up. He was going to be there only for a week. Because he was working in Diablo, he was like an extra or something. And he ended up staying longer. So we got concerned, and mother said, you know, you need to go talk to the landlord. And the landlord's all like, no problem, because you can do that for 2 weeks. Does that still exist?
I'd have to talk to county. That's a county regulation.
Oh.
We don't do any code enforcement whatsoever.
Whatsoever, you don't even know, so you wouldn't
know. Yeah, I have no idea.
I was just wondering if that still existed, like when someone is visiting you, like for 2 weeks or a week that they can, you know, hook up. That's what we were told. So I came back and I told my mom, as long as it's just 2 weeks, and yeah, it was just he left after following week, so it was fine. I was wondering if that's still even possible.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Tony, maybe you can be specific on how you became aware of the illegal connection at Director Joyce Sunnison's home.
So
who notified you?
County code enforcement sent out an email with documentation. That's how it got started. Gave him a call. We had a phone conversation. So I let him know that my GM was on vacation, that I couldn't immediately, you know, tell him. And he told me there was numerous complaints on that property. It was just a quick, simple phone call. I believe there was a second email. He stated that they had a deconstruction permit to disconnect from the sewer. And both those emails I forwarded to my manager, you know, to my chain of command, and cited. I can't remember off the top of my head. This is a few weeks ago, if I remember correctly.
Thank you. That's all we needed to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. That takes us down to OCSD, General Manager Will Clemens.
Yes, thank you. So the new hearing assist devices for the boardroom have been installed. So those are available for the public that needs them. We're also exploring options to replace your chairs, as has been discussed in the past. This week, we received word that the Clean California Grant Awards were announced by Caltrans, and our application was not awarded by Caltrans. They only made awards to 42 out of 230 applicants, or 18%. So it was a very competitive grant round. We have bids closing this Friday for our stormwater capture project at the Oceano Elementary School. So hopefully we have good bids on that project. And last week I met with the, or I think it was 2 weeks ago, met with the subcommittee of the State Water Subcontractors Advisory Committee, and we met with agricultural representatives, both up in the Paso Robles Basin and Edna Valley, to discuss opportunities for subcontractors to sell their state water on a temporary basis to get some cost recovery. And we got some good momentum, so we're going to meet again tomorrow to continue that conversation. And that's the end of my report.
When are you planning to start working on the Oceano School project?
So if we get bids in on Friday, I would hope to award the contract at our first meeting in November, and then issue a notice to proceed. So I would say probably at the soonest, late November, construction would begin.
Wow. That's fast.
I had a question. Can you say what kind of entities might be interested in purchasing water?
So basically, up in the Paso Basin, there's some water agencies that are interested. There's going to be a test project that is going to explore how they might put state water to use up in that basin, but they need to get that water secured. So that's kind of what we're discussing with the Paso area. And then Edna Valley is very interested in also building a turnout and possibly purchasing state water for the agricultural community in Edna.
That sounds good for us. Were there other subcontractors that were interested in selling?
Yeah, I think Morro Bay is particularly interested. San Miguelito, Mutual Water, Shandon, perhaps the county even. Hmm. So that's why we're kind of working together, so that everybody's on the same page.
Right, right.
But it's going to take probably some contract amendments to the state water contract, so that's another issue to deal with.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Any further comments?
No. So that takes us down to OCSD District Council. Daniel Shung, presentation from legal counsel regarding the Brown Act.
Directors, good afternoon. If you'd give me leave, I just needed to stretch my legs, so thank you for allowing me to make this presentation from the podium, and I also get to have some eye contact with you. So I was asked to make a brief presentation about the letter that's before you, specifically about the Brown Act requirements and confidential closed session communications. So I think that most of the information is contained in the letter, but one of the recommendations that came from the DA's office was to conduct, for public entities like OCSD, to conduct a training and have some reminders about some of the requirements of the Brown Act. So
is there any extra?
Madam President, I'm happy to answer questions after my presentation.
No, not questions, like a copy.
Yeah, so these are available. These will be made available. They're distributed to you, and pursuant to the Brown Act, they'll be made available for inspection by the public after the meeting.
Okay, after the meeting.
I think I do have an extra copy there if I've got one extra copy, but sure. So
I can't hear you. All this talking back here, I cannot hear you. Could you please tell them to stop talking? They're over talking to this gentleman. I cannot hear what he's saying.
Okay. Could we silence the talking and gestures?
Thank you, Madam President. So again, this will be very brief. I just wanted to cover three things. So the first point in the letter that the DA's office raises is the point that that the Brown Act presumes that all deliberations by public bodies like yourselves are conducted in open and public meetings. There are exceptions, however. The Court of Appeals has said that while public entities should not be sort of exercise rights beyond what the public has, they also should not be second-class citizens. So the Brown Act also allows you to go into closed session to discuss certain limited numbers of items. I just want to assure you, as a board, that I work with your staff, with Mr. Clemens, or whoever's pulling together the agenda, to confirm that items that are in closed session are both agendized and within the scope of the Brown Act and what's required. So if you have any questions about that, my request of you is that please give me a call. If you have concerns, if you don't think it's proper, if you think it might be it might be more proper in closed session, I'm more than happy to answer that question for you. The second point that the DA's office raises in this letter is about the confidentiality of information that's shared in closed session. So again, we're asked to make this presentation about what our neighbors to the northwest, what happened. I do want to emphasize that this is a letter from the DA's office. It's not a formal criminal charge. It's not a civil charge. It's a response to a complaint. Our district also receives complaints, so in sharing this letter, I don't want to suggest that what's in this letter has been decided by a judge and jury, but the recommendations in this letter I think are valuable for any public entity. So the Brown Act requires that a person, including you as members of the board, may not disclose confidential information that has been acquired by being present in a closed session authorized by the Brown Act. Confidential information specifically means communications made that specifically related to the basis for the legislative body of a local agency to meet lawfully under the Brown Act in closed session. So there are two types of information that we have that needs to be kept. Two types of information. First, if you, before the closed session starts, you're talking about your grandchildren and how wonderful they are, and you show pictures, that's not information, that's not the reason why the closed session is called, so that's not confidential information. Just because that discussion happens after the gavel falls and the board convenes into closed session does not make it confidential. However, if there is information that you receive in closed session, I do want to emphasize that neither the public nor journalistic outlets, nor the DA's office has the ability to release that information. Only you as a board have the power to release confidential information that's obtained in closed session. And this is one of the issues that was raised in this letter from the city of Pismo Beach. So again, should you have any questions about this, if this is something that you'd like to discuss further, please let me know. I'm more than happy to discuss it with you. So the final point that I just wanted to raise, and actually this came up in some of my conversations with you, and I do want to emphasize, I've had some really good conversations with each of you just on different types of things. My sense is that all of you are committed to transparency and to openness and to operating by the requirements of the Brown Act. So what I've listed for you, and I won't go through this specifically, are just the top 10 Brown Act violations that I've found online that we also do our best to help you to comply with, but we are not law enforcement. That's something that I do feel the need to emphasize. I am not the DA's office. I am not able to bring criminal charges against a director for violation of the Brown Act. That's not my role. My role is to advise you as directors of this district in running and managing this district. So I provide this for you so that it's helpful information for you as you also strive, which I know that you're committed to following the Brown Act. And then I did want to raise just one thing that I found interesting, and this I hope is helpful. Generally the Brown Act prohibits what are called serial meetings. So I can't talk to one person and then talk to one person, talk to another person, and then have a discussion about a single topic. But there is an exception in the Brown Act for questions that you might have of employees or officials of the agency that are separate conversations or communications in order to answer questions or provide information. So I know that sometimes the Brown Act is something that you might be worried about. It might sort of give you pause in calling your staff or calling legal counsel. But if you ever have any questions about that, my just biggest recommendation is please feel free to ask. The last thing that we, the Brown Act's intention is to hold you as public servants and as elected officials to a certain level of transparency. But I know that you all are committed to this, and to the extent that you have questions about how to conform to the requirements of the Brown Act, that is exactly what we as district legal counsel are here to do. So that concludes my presentation, President Villa. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much for this.
Thank you.
Very helpful.
Thank you. Okay. That brings us to public comment for any of these staff reports.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and I would actually like to speak to your council's presentation just now. First of all, I take issue with the idea that his intention was to present this letter to the public sometime after you saw it. The Brown Act is specific in that when a majority of the board receives a document, it immediately becomes public record. So we were here. It should have been provided ahead of your presentation, and I'm glad that Carrie was willing to go and make copies for us. This issue in Pismo Beach came about because there was a contract in closed session, or even commenting or discussing a salary in closed session is a violation of the Brown Act. I believe that actually happened here in Oceano in November of 2022 when Mr. Clemens' performance review was in the closed session, and then you did come out and approve a contract amendment. There was no documentation for the public. There was no subsequent meeting that included documentation for the public. So that is a separate issue for this district to wrestle with. But I think it did happen. The board appeared from my watching the meeting over and over again that they knew what the terms of the contract were going to be extended to and increased the compensation increased to before coming to open session. And that would have, the only way you could have known that is if it had been presented in closed session. So I believe that happened. While Mr. Chung explained to you that he is not the district attorney in our county is the authority on the Brown Act. And I just have to say I am grateful that they are there and that there is a public integrity unit. Not that long ago, there wasn't such a thing, and there was nowhere to go for the public to make a complaint like this. They had to file civil actions on their own. So I think, hats off to our current district attorney who implemented that program. And Pismo Beach has yet to publish this letter, and that is one of the recommendations. And they were going to have it in, or they were asked to have it in open session for the people of Pismo Beach to become aware of it. So I have made this letter public by giving it to you, and I hope it's on the
website?
Yeah, on the website. I don't know why Ms. Gibson had to try to get your attention. My time wasn't up.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any further public comment?
So, my understanding is...
Could you state your name?
Holly, Go Light Infantry. You watch my channel. Mm-hmm. So my understanding is these disposable diapers and mats we can throw in the trash can, correct? Disposable, like adult underwear, we can throw in the trash can, correct? That's where you dispose of them. You don't flush them down the toilet.
She wants to be by you.
Right?
No.
Okay. So I think I'm going to leave these for the director so she can use these. I mean, these are legal. She can poop in these. She don't have to poop in her trailer anymore. And she can use these instead of being illegally connected. And she can just throw them in the trash can. Here. Adult diapers. You have to follow the law. Okay? You can't disconnect. Do something other people are not allowed to do. That's a felony. There you go. There's your diapers. That's the solution.
Any further public comment?
Sorry, some of us are concerned for our safety back there. I also would like to reiterate that one of the things that Pismo did was allegedly, when I don't know it directly out of closed session from a director, that Pismo had gone over a contract and financial compensation for the incoming city manager. November of 2022, the former board, three of you were members, had the general manager's contract in front of you during closed session where you discussed his income, which was a violation of the Brown Act. Unfortunately, the GM doesn't really want you to know what are violations of the Brown Act, sadly. So with that in mind, when you came out of closed session, and again, people like us watch these meetings again and again because they're saved, it was very clear that you already knew the terms of the agreement that was created in closed session. There was no contract for the public that night. Only the attorney had it. So you guys readily approved $25,000 a year increase for someone that you clearly knew ahead of time. The terms of the contract, you knew ahead of time. You knew it because it was in closed session November of 2022, which is a violation of the Brown Act.
Any further public comment? Being none, we'll close public comment for this item, and we'll continue with the Board of Directors and outside community reports. Start with myself. I have none. Vice President Gibson?
Nothing to report.
Director Austin?
Yes, I have a report from the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting last week. And we have identified the problem with the secondary clarifier. Remember when Mr. Gent was here at our last meeting, he explained the problems we were having, and there was five potential causes: the unforeseen site condition, act of God, construction defect, potential material failure, and potential design error. And so since that last meeting, they have identified that it was the material was not the cause of the failure, it was a design error. And so I'll just read it here, it's easier. Through a third-party review of the structural design calculations, multiple meetings with the designer, it has been determined that the primary contributor to the failure in the design of the floor slab, there appears to have been both calculation and assumption errors in the design that led to a floor thickness that could not adequately withstand the hydrostatic pressure. This issue only exists in the floor section, and the remaining portions of the structure appear adequate. So they have been working with MKN and Smith Structural Group and Kennedy Jinks, and everybody's working very closely together. They're working now on a revised design to replace and reinforce the floor, and they're going to add like 6 inches to the concrete. They're going to take out the whole floor, put a new one in, make it thicker, and it won't interfere with the amount that the tank can hold, because they're going to take out some of the gravel below, so it'll still have the same
dimensions.
Yeah, they're going to remove, replace, and anchor the floor. In addition to replacing the floor slab with a thicker section, micropile anchors will be used to further protect against hydrostatic uplift. And hydrostatic uplift is when there's the water pressure underneath the they expect to have the construction plans in late October, and then they will, in October, late this month, we will have a schedule for the repairs, so it's going to put the project out longer. And it says we have incurred some minimal expenses. Cost of the repair and delay is still unknown. At this time, there is no indication the district will incur direct costs from the delay or to implement the repair. So right now, the main focus at the plant is the developing the repair strategy for the floor. And that's about the main thing. The next meeting will be November 1st. It'll be held in Grover Beach at the City Hall there. And this marks 60th anniversary of the sanitation plant. So we'll be having a little event, a resolution recognizing 60 years of service to the community. And I was able to get in contact with the very first administrator. He's 93 years old now, and he'll be coming to the meeting. And Shirley's been helping with some getting information, to have a little presentation on all the stages of the plant through the years. So that'll be a nice meeting. And that's all I have to report.
Did they decide if the heavy rains were a factor at all?
They said it didn't have a factor. Okay. Didn't have a factor of it. No.
I have a question in terms of you said that there would not be direct costs. What about indirect costs to the district?
Right now, we talked about that. Right now, it's just they're still trying to figure it all out. Can the design people have, you know, expressed a desire to work together to figure it out? Everybody's working together. We just don't really know yet, but it doesn't look like we'll have indirect costs. Could be, you know, I don't know, like a little bit of administrative work or something. But we won't have any, apparently we won't have any cost in the actual repairs.
So now they don't have a end date, probably?
No. It'll be a couple months before we know. It'll go out a few months.
Yeah.
A few more months. Everything else is you know, they can't start up until this clarifier is done, but they have been able to go on with the paving and paving repairs, things like that, you know, working all around it. So they did do a cleanup around the office and new landscaping, and, you know, they're working as usual. They have reporting from August, there's no violation of the permits. Everything's running very smoothly at the plant right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
That brings us to Director Joyce Sennison.
Okay. I'm just going to take my time to read a statement. I would like to address the big scandal that Director Gibson plans to publicly flog me with tonight. Well, this is discussed. Please remember that this is, at the core, a run-of-the-mill fix-it ticket. Not to excuse the infraction at all, but to clarify, other adult family members do live on the property, and I do not supervise them. Also, they live there at my address. At no time have I tried to sidestep this issue or my responsibility to correct it. To be clear, I am not stealing water or sewage. To be even more clear, I first became aware of this at all, even before the county contacted me. Mr. Clemens aggressively confronted me when I had stopped by the office to pick up some documents that he had dragged his feet on providing me. He isolated me outside of the office and was aggressively confrontational. From the start, well, I was struggling to understand what he was even talking about and what he was referring to, since he apparently knew information about me that I had not gotten. When I became officially aware of this infraction, I immediately took the steps to correct it. I have been in communication with our county and under their instructions have implemented a solution that they require for this case. I then became aware that Karen Veeley intended to write a story about this, but she had no intention of contacting me, so I took the initiative and contacted her instead. This entire issue is very comparable to Director Austin's failure to accurately report assets that she owns within our district she serves on, as required by the FPPC.
Director Joyce Sennison, I think this is part of your brief report regarding your activities,
yeah,
which is allowed
under
the Brown
Act. Just a little
Act,
bit left. She said it was an honest oversight on her part and is in no, this is no different than my case. I'm amazed at how, at the amount of attention that this minor notice of violation is receiving, and this attention should be focused on the embezzlement, which is a real crime. And it was hidden by the general manager and our past attorneys and some current board members. I hope that you will all ask yourself how a
Director
reporter...
Director Joyce Sennison, I'm very sorry.
Excuse me, Mr. Chung. You are not the president of this organization, and you should not be interrupting a director. She is doing her report.
Thank you, Director.
Point of order.
President Villa, I would just raise that this, again, I understand that this is part of the director's brief reports on their activities, but I would urge that the presentation stop at this time because otherwise it could violate the Brown Act.
Okay, well,
finish it up.
The bottom line is this is a run-of-the-mill violation. It's a fix-it ticket.
Thank you. Next, we have Director Varnes.
First of all, I'd just like to, I know I'm blowing my nose and coughing and stuff up here, and I've just got a big allergy attack. I tested. I'm negative for COVID, so we know that. Have the posters for the Dia de los Muertos celebration on November 5th. I'll pass them down the row here, and then these will end up with Carrie and get posted out at on the window. I'll warn you, Mr. Chung, that I'm going to be taking some time to do this, and I'm claiming that time, and I will not be stopped. Here's the situation. The fraud and embezzlement that's happened here over the last, I mean, more than a year ago, has been in the media. It's being reported on. I'm getting calls from
point
constituents
of order.
Wanting to know
yeah,
what is
order.
Going
point
on.
Point of order.
And
Director Varney?
Director Varney.
I, I'm moving forward here.
I'd suggest
with this.
That the board recess.
Just recess the meeting. Recess the meeting. Turn off the.
Hey.
Reconvene. And so at this time, I will take the prerogative as the president to move to a closed session. But before we do that, I would want to take public comment on closed session.
So, President Villa, this is closed session. Items 14A and 14B is listed in the agenda.
Yeah, 14A and 14B as listed on the agenda.
Now you're in compliance with the Brown Act by making that announcement. It's just my thing. Just for the public at home, the conference with legal counsel regarding real property includes the districts. Properties. So this is, because they're not watching at home, related to the divestiture of your fire and the potential that the county takes the properties. The other item that's in closed session is conference with district council regarding initiation of litigation. I don't know what that is. I can only hope what that is, but I won't even say what I would like it to be. What I'm not seeing on here that I don't know that you've come to a close on, and I wish was on here, is that you would have a performance review of your general manager. The conduct, the faces, and the zipping of lips motion to me in the audience is highly unprofessional. I asked for a document from the back of the room, and I got this from your general manager. Is he 6 years old?
Any further public comment?
I also do not see a performance review on the closed session, so I can only assume that yet again it was not a good one, because you only report good ones at a closed session. So,
Bonnie Ertz, I just have a quick question. Are you skipping or coming back to 6C?
We're not skipping. We're just moving things so that we do closed session.
So you're going to go to closed session, and then you'll come back to 6C? Then you'll come back to 6C?
And we're going to pick up where we stopped.
Okay.
We're not leaving anything or any report. Everyone continues their reports and completes them.
Okay. Okay.
What's the purpose of moving to closed session in the middle of the meeting?
Do you want to answer that, Council?
Well, President Villa, you have the unilateral authority under the bylaws to move items on the agenda around during the meeting.
And more will be explained at closed session.
Is there a motion to?
You'd have a motion to
convene.
Second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Varney?
No.
Director Joyce Sennison?
No.
President Villa?
Yes. Resume session after closed session.
Are you on?
I thought he said yes. So we're resuming our meeting after closed session.
Thank you, President Villa. The board discussed item 14A and provided direction to staff. And with respect to item 14B, the board has authorized the release of certain confidential information that was disclosed in closed session in the form of a statement, which I will be reading at this time. On July 22, 2022, district auditors discovered that sick and vacation leave had been modified by an employee. The district followed up on this discovery and took appropriate action. The employee reference in the audit findings was placed on administrative leave on August 19, 2022, and terminated effective September 10, 2022. The board met in closed session and authorized a forensic auditor to assess the extent of the theft in its meeting on November 9, 2022. The process for checks and balances at OCSD is to have the employee processing payroll prepare the leave accruals and then have the manager check and approve the leave accruals every 2 weeks with payroll. This process was always followed. However, the district financial software contained a weakness that allowed the employee to circumvent the process. It should be noted that the district experienced no financial loss as a result of the finding related to leave accruals. As noted in the financial audit, district management worked with the software provider to install system requirements where one employee initiates the accrual and a second to approve within the system. The audit findings from June 28, 2023 were provided to the district on June 26, 2023 and posted on the following day as an addendum to the June 28th agenda, making them available to the board and the public. Physical copies were also available at the board meeting. The forensic auditor concluded his report on August 22, 2023, and on August 25, 2023, this information was provided to the district attorney, and the Oceano Community Services District is cooperating with their investigation. That concludes the statement. Thank you, President Villa.
Okay, so that was a report from closed session. We continue with our meeting here, where we left off. So I believe 6C, Director Varney was doing his report. So you
may. Okay, thank you, President Villa. My report is similar to what Mr. Chung just presented, with maybe a bit more flesh on the bones. But this, I want to say that I take this very seriously. I have deep concerns about how this whole issue has been handled over a period of 13 months. And I believe it is my responsibility, my ethical responsibility as an elected director of this district, to make my concerns known. I think that the risk that the district runs by not being more transparent and open and frank is more disrespect, more lack of trust on the part of the population. This is not the first time OCSD has been down this road, unfortunately. And I don't want to be, I want to be part of building public trust, not enabling its undermining and demise. I'm not saying that there's an intention to do that per se, but I think that's a consequence. On July 22nd, 22, this starts back in 22, the auditor discovered manipulation of vacation and sick leave by an employee. And on September 10th, that employee was terminated. On September 16th, 6 days after the termination, the OCSD business manager, with her due diligence, discovered thefts of cash, money payments for water bills that the terminated employee had participated in.
President Villa, I will
November 9th,
warn the board that this exceeds the scope not only of district of director reports.
This is completely off of what we were.
But also elaborates on a point that had been discussed in closed session.
On November 9th,
recess the meeting, please. Recess the meeting.
Can we what?
Recess the, we'll recess on the meeting because we need to.
I'm being repressed here. I'm not being allowed to have my freedom of speech as a director, as an elected director of this thing.
The meeting has been recessed for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
After a short recess again, and again, I'm going to take my powers as president and kind of go back to consent agenda and have that approved, because it's getting kind of late, and then we'll come back to where we left off. So can I have the directors go over the consent agenda for 30 seconds or so, and then have someone approve the consent agenda? Sure.
I'm just happy to see the
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just happy to see that we have the storage tank rehabilitation project on here and the authorization to advertise for construction bids. It's something that's been needed done for a long time, and I'm really happy to see that coming forward.
It's obviously in terrible shape.
Yeah, those pictures were pretty sad. So let's hopefully get that as soon as possible.
That was a nice, lengthy report with plenty of pictures.
Yeah.
Any further comments for the consent agenda?
We're approving on the consent agenda items A through E or mm-hmm. A through F?
A through F.
A through F.
Okay.
A through F. Okay.
Well, that's my thing. Didn't we move, didn't I move something?
Maybe we vote for do it.
Would you like to pull the items?
No, she's talking about something else.
Well, no, I'm talking about down to...
Well, yeah, I don't think that was approved.
Well, then I want to pull the item.
What's going on?
She really wants to pull the item out.
Look at the time.
Yeah, okay, well, no, I'm just asking.
I don't know what's going to happen. Look at the time.
If we're not going to continue,
that's not certain, Director Gibson.
Yeah, what we're doing.
Okay.
I just have one question on the consent agenda. The City of Aurora Grande, the amount of $5,171. What was that for?
Thank you, President Villa. That's for the wheeling cost. That is passed down to the customers that we serve that are AG customers, and then we get invoiced by AG. For example, I don't know if you're interested, it's Halcyon Estates on South Halcyon Road, Manor Mobile on South Halcyon Road, Christie Family, and Canyon Crest.
Okay, that's the only question I had. So can I have someone...
You want to make public comment on consent?
Oh, public comment from consent agenda.
Julie Tacker, and I attended your last meeting, and I wanted to speak to those minutes. Wednesday, September 27th. There was a discussion, and I'm pretty sure that at a... future agenda item was to have had a press release, yet that's not on this agenda, and I'm a little concerned about who decides what future means. I felt that it was pretty clear that there was some urgency and that you needed to get ahead of the matter, and that it should have been on this agenda. So who decided that it should somehow be on another date? Because that should have been on this agenda. It might have helped you with what was going on earlier. I'm very confused about a sidebar over here and interrupting a director. This is highly unusual, what's going on here tonight. And... the statement out of closed session is also unusual. I don't know how someone pads their vacation and that doesn't have a financial impact on the district, because they got paid to go on vacation. If they use that vacation, there's a financial impact. So that needs to be clarified if they weren't ever able to exercise that vacation time and be paid to be away. So that if you're going to do a press release or your statement, explain that. The future agenda items appear to be being pushed out rather than being addressed at the next meeting. And maybe that's the motion when you make your next agenda item request, that it be by motion that you want it on the next agenda. And that way your staff has to put it on the next agenda.
Just to clarify, the cash disbursements are on the table right now. I'm so confused by the sidebars and what we're approving and not approving. So cash disbursement is part of this tonight, right now. Okay. Thank you. I would like to address the very first item on the cash check reconciliation register, which is to Adamski, Morosky, Madden, and Cumberland Patch something. It's 9 o'clock at night, and you're barely getting to your consent. You have all these things ahead of you. And this is why we have almost $19,000 in a legal bill, just one from them. The circus. He's interrupting you. He's running meetings for you. You're all calling him at all days and hours of the morning, noon, and night because your general manager has created chaos amongst the OCSD. This is where our money's going, you guys. This is a disaster. We've got to be better about this. You guys are in charge of it. And he's spending it because he lets you all fight with each other while he stirs it up with his big wooden spoon. Enough.
Any further public comment? If not, we'll go from our consent back to where we left off.
We need a motion.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Did
you still want to pull?
Yeah.
Okay, so then I'll move that. Well, we have to make a motion to pull. Yeah. Okay, she pulled. Okay, I'll move that we approve items A through E on the consent agenda.
Do I have a second?
Yes. We don't need a second, do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Varney?
No.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
No.
And President Villa?
No. No.
So you're not approving A through E?
I believe we want the consent agenda.
We want the whole consent agenda just approved.
Oh. Okay.
The way it is.
Thank you. So the way that the consent agenda works is that any director may pull an individual item off of consent, and then it's effectively pulled off. So it doesn't require a second. Yep, so for discussion. Yes, that's correct.
She should do the discussion.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I have a few questions about the funding of the Day of the Dead. So it's only 3 weeks away, and what has been presented is pretty scanty information, so I have a few questions. I didn't see on there where the event is being held or the hours of the event. And is the partnership with Lucia Marr just about providing the community center, or are they contributing anything else? And most important is, does Lucia Marr show the district as additionally insured on their general liability? And is there any kind of fee that the district has to pay for that? And I didn't see mention of security setup or cleanup. How many people are supervising, and do all the volunteers and committee members, have they done the requisite background check? And what are the activities, and are you concerned about just having 3 weeks to get ready? And it seems like Director Varney and Director Sunnison have been talking about Parks and Rec Committee since December. I just don't understand why your proposals are so late and incomplete.
The biggest obstacle is the ones that you continue to throw up in the face of Parks and Recreation for us to get approval and moving forward. And the event is well organized. The issues that you bring up, I think some of them are relevant. They've been addressed or in the process of being addressed.
Yeah. Is that your comment?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, the resolution that is to be signed later about OPAR, it says on here, the first whereas, the OCSD desires to exercise these powers in a manner that is transparent, collaborative, and accountable to the residents of Oceano. And that should include the board of directors. If we don't have that information, which you say is already been dealt with, how is that transparent? And then the fourth whereas, per the Brown Act, there's a wish to comply with certain requirements regarding open and public meetings. So did you have a meeting this month?
Yes.
And where are the public minutes?
Since we're not a standing committee, we're not required to provide minutes. So as soon as we're a standing committee, then we'll conform to those.
So you're not cooperating until, in the spirit of goodwill, you're not providing anything to the board?
Actually, I'm so busy dealing with OCSD that the issue of writing up minutes for you from a meeting are kind of low on my priority. I have a report to give that I could give tonight at the end of my, when I get back to my time on the agenda, if you want to hear it. But it seems to me you wanted to talk about the budget, and now you're into the bylaws.
Well,
so why don't you hold that till we get to that item rather than taking up time? We have 20 minutes left in the meeting.
Well, good. I'll refer to it again and go over it again. And it's not just written minutes for me. It's for the public. And, you know, on this resolution, it says you're going to be transparent, collaborative, and accountable. So I think you need to start now.
Well, why don't you...
Can we just end this discussion, point of order?
Is there a motion, President Veer, or is there further discussion from the board?
Further discussion. Public comment.
Good evening. Thank you for whatever that was. I really admire your fascination, Director Gibson, with the workings of OPARC. I would say your obsession with it, quite honestly. and I hope that we see you there at an event that you're just so enamored with and fascinated by the workings of. I would hope that you would even volunteer your time or put some effort into it. And then all these really deep, probing questions that you have could be answered personally, directly, with your own two eyes. I think that'd be a wonderful use of your time.
Any further public comment? Not a close comment, but comment on this topic.
I have one more quick comment. The OPAR meeting last week was not on the district website. It wasn't on our Facebook page, and it was not sent to the other board members. And I think that's important.
Thank you. Okay. We will continue with the motion to approve the consent agenda. Is that where we're at?
The entire consent agenda.
The entire consent agenda as presented.
I think I already got A through E. I think I just need 7F.
Okay. 7F. Oh. All the agenda? A second? Do I have a second?
I'll second that. Okay.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
So we will then continue to where we left off, and so we could
finish off the Board of Directors reports, and that's it.
Okay. I'll finish this quickly if I'm not interrupted. So we're looking at, so 4 months, the from July 22nd to November 9th, these different fraudulent and alleged fraudulent and embezzlement issues came to the fore. On November 9th, in a closed session, the directors were, you know, notified of the alleged crimes for the first time, and the hiring of a forensic auditor was recommended and approved in order to discover the extent of the loss, and it was not yet reported to law enforcement. On June 26th, 9 months after the initial discovery, the annually mandated OCSD financial audit report was placed on the consent agenda of the regularly scheduled meeting, and that report contained the public presentation of findings of irregularities that were made possible by, you know, problems with the bookkeeping system and hardware. There was no reference was made to the information contained in the audit, and the consent agenda was approved by all directors present without discussion. On August 19th, directors, and this is like now 13 months in, directors Varney and Sunnison, the newest directors who began service in December of 22, are contacted by an Oceano resident and referred to the auditor's report, which is now posted on the OCSD website and in the public domain. After serving as directors for 9 months, Sunnison and Varney discovered they have been excluded from knowledge of the crimes and investigation. And so on August 20th, directors Varney and Sunnison each sent emails to the San Luis Obispo County District Attorney reporting the crimes and providing a link to the auditor's report. On August 23rd, a closed session was held to discuss all of this, and eventually this was all turned over to the, as was pointed out, to the county district attorney, and he is now responsible for that part of it. And that concludes my remarks.
No discussion? Public comment? Seeing no public comment, we'll continue. So we did the consent agenda. I believe we're on business items now.
Can I make a motion that we, due to time constraints, and that we put off
the
items 8A and B till our next meeting.
And written communications.
And everything else, just move everything to our next meeting. Because it's going to be 9:30. I kids at home.
So there's a motion. Director Austin, is there, it can be seconded?
Yeah, I'll second that we table and move to the next meeting, 8A, AB, 10 ABC.
Basically everything that's left?
Yes.
Daniel, can I ask a question?
Yes.
We were going to come back to 6C, public comment for items not on the agenda. So would that also move?
So I believe item 5 has been done, public comment on matters not on the agenda.
Oh.
And then
okay.
President Villa also, this is just for the record, did open up space for public comment on special presentations and reports following Director Varney's report. Thank you for confirming. So there's a motion and a second. President Villa?
Don't you have to take public comment on the continuance?
President Villa, so you're not required to take public comment on that, but the board, of course, is welcome to.
It'll be short and brief.
I am going to be short and brief, but I will be specific to continuing the written communications section of your agenda, in that I would suggest that those come off the next agenda. Only President... Vice President Gibson asked for her correspondence to be on the agenda. Myself, and I don't believe the district attorney's office asked for their correspondence to be on that agenda. And if you're going to revisit it, unredact his signature.
Any further public comment?
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sonneson?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
So would you like to make a motion to adjourn, President?
So future items agenda will be at the next meeting then?
Yes.
Okay.
We have future agenda items.
So all items have been tabled. Director Varney, President Villa, if you'd like to allow a discussion for direction for future agenda items.
Do we have any future agenda items?
Well, yes, I have a future agenda item, and that would be a closed session on the general manager's performance review.
How many evaluations do we have to do, and why? What's the basis for that request?
So, Director Gibson, I think this direction really just needs a second. I think further discussion would be more appropriate for the meeting.
Okay, so we have a first and a second.
And that, that would be at the next meeting.
Yes, it has to be at the next meeting.
Okay.
So we'll have the general manager's review at the next meeting?
That's the direction that staff has received. Yes.
So, can I motion to adjourn the meeting?
Second.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sonneson?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes.
Yes. We're adjourned.